India has been much talked about as a rising global power. This week, we're exploring the impact of that on Indian society and religion. Most Indians are Hindus. NPR's Philip Reeves has been traveling the length of the Ganges River, and his third stop is the ancient holy city of Varanasi.
According to its constitution, India's a secular democracy. Yet the Hindu religion remains at the nation's heart, shaping attitudes at every level. And at the heart of Hinduism lies the city of Varanasi. It's just after dawn. The rising sun casts a huge golden shaft across the brown expanse of the Ganges, now moving at matronly pace across the plains of North India. A woman stands knee-deep in water. She's running through her morning prayers as if in a trance. We've arrived in a place which has been the religious capital of the Hindu faith since history began, a place believed to be as old as Babylon. And it owes its life to the Ganges, or Ganga as everyone here calls her. Hindus believe the river's a goddess whose waters cleanse the soul and deliver moksha, release from the cycle of reincarnation. The devout aspire to bathe in the Ganges at Varanasi at least once in their lives. This morning, like every other day, thousands of pilgrims are fulfilling that ambition. They gather along the ghats, the stone steps leading down to the river. Here, religion and domestic life comfortably coexist. A small, unhappy boy is getting a haircut. Yet just a few yards away, a group of half-dressed, wandering Hindu holy men, sadhus, with wild white beards and saffron-coloured sarongs, is deep in meditation. Look a little further along the banks, and there are women in brilliantly coloured saris washing clothes, men brushing their teeth in the river's grimy waters, and children splashing each other just for fun. This has got to be one of the most amazing scenes in the world. There are people who've come here to pray and to meditate. One man's standing in the water up to his shoulders, and he has his hands clasped to his eyes, and he's got a cloth over his head, and he's been in that position for at least an hour. There are other people who've standing in the with their arms outstretched on the banks of the river, worshipping the sun, and one or two others just sitting in the lotus position. Saurabh Sharma is paying his morning visit to the Ghats to meditate and chant by the river. Non-Hindus never find it easy to grasp this complex religion with its rich mythology and multitude of gods. But Sharma agrees to try to explain to an outsider what his daily visit to the Ganges means to him.
Nature has a lot of power. This is something anybody anywhere in the world can feel. You go to Yosemite, you go to the Grand Canyon, you go to the Amazon forest, you feel the power of nature. It's not merely the Ganga. I mean, the Ganga is just one small example of it.
Sharma used to be in IT systems and finance, though now he's retired. India remains an intensely religious country, and many Indians worry that moving towards a consumer society will eventually undermine the country's traditions and faith. Sharma takes a philosophical view.
Let me try and explain this to you a little. I mean, you have certain money, so you can do with money what money can do. But can it change your life? Now, that's a Western belief, that money changes your life, that money is life.
Crowds of tourists gather by the river for a puja ceremony, a Hindu blessing ritual laid on for their benefit. Several million tourists visit India every year. Varanasi is one of the chief attractions. And where there are tourists, there's money. And like everywhere in India, where there's money, there's always someone pecking at it. These are two tiny girls, Neha and Vandana. They say they're 9 and 10, although they look half that age. They've been sent out by their families to sell candles to tourists for floating down the river. They say they make about 30 cents a day.
Good.
UNICEF, the UN's children's organisation, says India still has at least 35 million child labourers, although some estimates are higher. These girls are among them. Hindus bathe in the Ganges at Varanasi because they believe her holy waters wash away their sins. But you don't have to travel far down the river before sin reasserts itself. We're moving east by train to our next stop, the state of Bihar. If Varanasi is the citadel of spirituality, you could say these days Bihar is its counterpoint, a citadel to crime, corruption and caste prejudice, and one of the poorest states in India.
The entire growth, they have entirely bypassed Bihar.
That's Rai Atul Krishna, a veteran journalist from Bihar.
The reason being that Bihar simply did not have the infrastructure to gain from easy interest rates and things like that. You gain from these things only if you have some kind of a basic infrastructure which can be built upon.
The consequences of being out of the loop come in the form of crime. The state's plagued by gangs who extort, kidnap and kill to order. With the help of a few locals, we find some of these gang members living rough in the woodlands close to the banks of the Ganges, outside a lawless town called Mukama. That's how the gang members communicate when they think the cops might be around. Half a dozen scrawny, feral-looking young men emerge from the trees. Only their eyes are visible, glittering defiantly through their face masks. They look at us suspiciously. One of them has an axe. Then they agree to talk, though not for long. One of them is 21-year-old Rajiv Gope, who's reportedly wanted for murder.
In Bihar, to get a job, you have to pay money. Nothing works without money here. That is why I have chosen this path, a short but quick way to make money.
Gope's seen the ads for luxury goods and cars which flood India's TV channels, and he seems prepared to take any means necessary to secure his share.
Our crimes? We ask for money, and if we don't get money, then we murder. And we will do anything for money.
Gope even has a role model. Some of Bihar's criminal gangs are controlled by politicians. He'd like to be one of them.
People in this field who've taken risks are now powerful politicians in Bihar. And that's what I want. I want to make a lot of money.
In that, at least, this young, alienated Indian has much in common with many of his countrymen who live within the law. Philip Reeves, NPR News, by the Ganges River.
The Ganges journey continues tomorrow. We experience the intellectual, economic, and political ferment of Calcutta. Philip Reeves' latest reporter's notebook is at npr.org.